We all worship different. It's a personal relationship that we have with the Heavenly Father. But never will forget one service that we went into. And normally you could tell by the time the service began kind of how the service was going to be. And we started, and I mean, it was quiet and it was dry and everything else. And that's all I got to say about that matter. But after we ended the song, there was a lady sitting on the front row to my left, an older lady, and she would stand and she would turn towards the audience and clap her hands, and then the audience would clap their hands, and then they'd sit back down. We'd sing another, and it would be just as quiet as it could be, nothing going on. And at the end of it, she'd do it again. And I made the statement that if they invite me back, I'm going to make sure that this woman is still alive. Because if she has died, I don't know. But I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that I don't have to ask you to clap. I don't have to ask you to praise the Lord. I don't have to ask you to worship. It's a personal thing that we have between God and ourselves, and we worship in our own way. And I appreciate that with you. Zach McCurdy is going to come around. Zach has spoke at our men's fellowship. If you've not ever been to one, you need to. Different speakers. And Nick Welland's going to be speaking this Sunday. But Zach has spoke at our men's fellowship. And I've been telling him, I said, we're going to have to get you lined up at a service. And we talked about it Thursday or Friday. I don't remember last week. And I said, let's just do it Wednesday. Amen. So he's coming at this time, and I want you to help him tonight. And I'm believing that God's going to use him. So good to have his family with us, dad, mother with us tonight. God bless them for coming. So, Zach, if you'll make your way up here, want to make sure that as he's coming, I want to make sure that he don't take it personal. Every time I get up to preach, several go out. I don't know, you know, they say it's children's church, but I don't know. But God bless you. So good to have you tonight.
I just want to start by saying every time I've come here and I heard All My Hope Is in Jesus, I always get chills. So thank you, praise and worship team, for All My Hope Is in Jesus. And truly it is. And just y'all talking about him being risen from the grave, you know, of all the religions we have in this world, ours is the only one where you can go to our Savior's grave and there's nothing there. It's empty. So what a great God we serve. But as Pastor said, if y'all don't know me, my name is Zach McCurdy. And as Dylan said, I'm his co-worker and friend. And also, I'm the brother of Devin Dean, another member in your congregation. So I think it goes without saying I'm in need of your prayers. But but all joking aside, I'm really happy to be here tonight. And thank y'all for giving me the opportunity to just be able to stand up and talk in front of you and share a little bit of God's word. It means a lot to me, so thank you. Before I get started tonight, I'd like to first open us up in a word of prayer. So if you would, please just bow your head. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for another opportunity to gather together as a church family and worship you and learn more about you. I pray that you'll be with me tonight. Lord, I pray that you just fill me with the Holy Spirit and use me merely as your tool. Speak through me and provide me with a message that we all need to hear. And Lord, I pray that we all use it to not only advance our own Christian life, but also to bring others closer to you, Lord. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight I want to talk about something that every Christian has to go through at some point in their life. That topic is reconciliation. So if you've got your Bibles with you, or if you've got a Bible app on your phone, turn those on as well. But I'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. So this is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth. And in this passage, he gives us a really good idea as to just what reconciliation looks like, and also what we're called to do after the point of reconciliation, which I think most of us in this room, if not all of us, are already at that point. So starting in verse 16, Paul says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Now, I know that's a lot of spiritual meat in a very small passage, so I'm going to try and break it down word for word, verse for verse, just that way there's no misunderstanding. Starting in verse 16, the very first word here is therefore. It's obviously referring to a previous text. So in order to get a good idea of where we're going, I first want to take a step back and look at where we've been. In verse 15, Paul said, "And he died for all," referring to Christ, "that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." So that's where we're coming from at the beginning of this passage. So after therefore, Paul says, "From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer." So why do you think Paul puts emphasis on no one according to the flesh? Don't judge anyone according to the flesh. Because we live in a world, past, present, and future, that will judge you according to the flesh. That is the world's standard of judgment, right? And if you don't have Christ in your life, that is all you have. That is the only tangible thing we have to judge people by, is by the flesh. But being a born-again Christian, we now have Christ in our heart, correct? And we now have a new standard, a heavenly standard, not a worldly standard. So we're now called to what? Conform ourselves to the image of Christ, right? Well, in Christ, we see a beautiful display of what? Love, mercy, grace, to all, to everyone, even the least of these. So what are we called to do? Exactly the same. Grace, love, and mercy to all. So moving forward in verse 17, Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Now, first off, I want to say, you know, what a verse that'll get you feeling good, right? We are a new creation. But I also want to say this. This is also one of the most misinterpreted verses in the Bible. And the reason I say that is, and it's by believers and non-believers, but oftentimes people assume that when you find Christ, right, I've now accepted Christ into my life. A lot of people think you're now supposed to be just as Christ was, perfect in every way, without sin, without flaw. And as much as I would like to say that was the case in my own reconciliation, as much as I would have wanted that to be the case, it's not. Right. So while I have Christ within me, while he is constantly building me up, I'm constantly becoming a better and better version of myself, I still walk around in this fleshly body. And I still have sins, I still have carnal thoughts, all the above. But the best way I've ever heard it put is from one of my favorite pastors. His name is Paul Washer. And he once said that, and this is his own personal testimony, he said one of the things he fought with the most was, he said, "I used to be a pathological liar." He said, "I could tell a lie no matter how big, no matter how small." He said, "Not only that, but I was good at it." He said, "I could get anyone to believe me," right? But he said, "Something changed in me when I found Christ." He said, "It wasn't that I quit lying. Yes, I've still told lies since I found Christ." But he said, "Something's different. Something's new." Because he said, "Whereas before, I could tell the biggest of lies to even my closest of friends and sleep like a baby that night," he said, "now I can tell even the smallest of lies, and I'm immediately convicted and have to repent." But you see, that's just it. That is the difference, right? So you can take, in your own personal life, I'm sure we all can think of the most faithful Christian servant we know. I'm sure everybody has a picture in your head that immediately pops in mind, right? My mama or my my friend's dad, or whoever it may be. We all have that one person who just seems like they can't do no wrong, right? Sweetest person on the planet. And you can put them before God at judgment, and you can put the worst person you can think of in front of him, right? So let's say the worst man on death row. And sadly, without Christ in the picture, neither one of them have a chance. So you have the best person you know and the worst person you know both going to the same place, right? So now we see the need of a Savior. Okay. And the best examples I have of this change of heart, change of mind, you see in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul talks about he who began a good work in you will finish it. Notice he said began. A lot of people, I think that as soon as they accept Christ in their heart, they're done. Right? I've accepted him, I'm done. But here he says, he who began a good work will finish it, meaning there's more to be done. Right? And we see even in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, where Paul talks about striving onward for the prize that is Christ Jesus. Right? Forgetting what lies behind, I strive forward for the prize that is Christ Jesus. And notice what he says right after that, not that I've already attained it. You see, Paul understood, you know, and he's one of the most faithful servants we see of all the examples in the Bible. Apostle Paul would have to be at the top of the list, right? And even he is saying at the end of his life, I've not yet attained it. I'm still striving forward for the prize that is Christ Jesus. So we can never become content where we're at now, right? So moving on to verse 18. I don't know where I'm at here. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, one important thing I want to point out in this verse, pay real close attention to how Paul words this. Notice he says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. Notice he didn't say he reconciled himself to us. God has no need for reconciliation, right? In God we see holiness, righteousness, omnipotence, right? He has no reason to be reconciled to anybody. But here's the problem. We are unholy. We are unrighteous. We are not all-powerful. Therein lies the problem. And God saw this problem. He saw that we have a sin problem. And he knew that without a Savior, without reconciliation from him, there was no way that any of us could ever have fellowship with God. Nobody. Right? So moving on. Notice at the end of verse 18, he also commissions us. He says, we are called to tell others the message of reconciliation. Right? Which he perfectly explains here in verse 19. He says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What a merciful God we serve. And why do I say that? There is not a courtroom on this planet where you can walk in there and the judge can know without a shadow of a doubt you're guilty and then call you not guilty. Only in God's courtroom can he look at me, Zach McCurdy, a person who is obviously guilty, has every reason to be cast into hell, but can look at me through the lens of Christ and say, not guilty, righteous. We never see mercy like that in any other place than right here. So moving on in verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Right, so now we see the problem. We recognize our need for a Savior. We've accepted Christ as our Savior. But again, it doesn't end there. Now God is telling us to be ambassadors for Christ. And just as we were hearing earlier in this service, God's word is not meant to be confined within the four walls of this church. It's meant to be spread. And my dad, who's also a preacher, one thing he's always said to me that's really struck home and I'll never forget. He said, if you spend your whole life trying to get yourself into heaven, good luck making it. But if you spend your whole life trying to get everyone else into heaven, there's probably going to be a spot there for you. So just something to keep in mind. And finally, our last verse here. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In this verse, we see the greatest exchange in human history, right? We see God who made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, right? So Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, took what we deserve, right? A death on a cross, and in return gave us what He deserves, eternity in heaven. What a great and glorious God we serve. That is the greatest exchange we could ever ask for. Am I right? So, it's not a very long message, but it's one that I feel like really hits home with all of us. And I feel like it's a good wake-up call for me and the rest of us to keep in mind that we're never content. We're always trying to bring others to Christ. And we're not meant to just keep all of our worship, as great as it is, we're not meant to just keep it here. It's meant to be spread. And I hope to one day see a family worship center that's packed to the gills every Sunday, every Wednesday. That's our goal. But with that being said, I just want to end y'all with a little passage out of Psalms. It's a little Psalm of David, and I think it ties well into what we've been talking about tonight. And in it is Psalm 32, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. In it, David said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. In a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." Again, guys, I want to thank y'all for just allowing me to get up here and speak. And Pastor, I hope I haven't talked too long or too short or anything like that. But again, it's been truly a blessing to get up here and talk. And I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity. So thank you.